beginning to read in the 26th verse. And in the sixth month the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. The angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. When she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? The angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. This is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste, into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things. The rich he hath sent away empty. He hath holpen his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. It's rather an incomprehensible thing, isn't it, that God would choose a young virgin girl, unmarried, that he would choose to move upon her by the power of the Holy Spirit and cause a new life to come in her womb and cause her to give birth to a baby, and that he should be called the Son of God, Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus, the salvation of God, the one that would save his people from their sins. It wasn't any easier for them to believe it in that day than it is for us today. I suspect that the reason that the Lord chose this very strange and very unusual way to bring his salvation into being was that the proud, the imaginative, and the wise would not receive him. Only the humble, only the childlike, Only those that would open their hearts to the ministry of His Spirit. Paul said in the book of 1 Corinthians, his letter to the Corinthian church, he was talking along the lines of this passage of Scripture that we've just read, and I believe he must have had something in mind that Jesus said one day when he was praying. He says, I thank you, Father, that you have hidden these things from the wise and the prudent and have revealed them unto the babes. He says, I thank you, Father, that you have hidden them from the wise and the prudent and revealed them to the babes. Paul said in 1 Corinthians, his first chapter, he said in the 19th verse, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. Isn't it interesting that God should bring the Savior of the world into being, into existence, in a dirty barn, in a stall, to an unmarried young virgin, in a little out-of-the-way place called Nazareth, in the midst of a people that were held in slavery and in bondage, a people who had been humbled by the power of the Empire of Rome in that day, a man of very humble beginnings. That God would bring the Savior of the world to that kind of a humble beginning, that He would live a humble life in that land, that He would die a notorious death, a horrible death, the death of a criminal, and that through that kind of foolishness, God would cause you and me and every person that would believe that foolish story, glory to God, to be delivered out of the clutches of the devil. That is a foolish kind of a story, isn't it? And no man in his right mind would ever believe such a tale. No man in his right mind. Praise God, God's not a mind. Praise the Lord, He's a spirit. Praise God, we don't come to Him with the wisdom of our minds, but we come to Him in the foolishness and the childlikeness of our spirit. When we believe that simple story, when we receive the simple truth that God has provided for us here, He gives us that translation. I want you to notice something. I've shared this with you before, but I think it bears reminding. In that passage in Luke, I want you to see something very important concerning this maiden Mary. And ministers to me today, and I hope it does to you as well. In verse number 37, the angel told Mary, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. With God, nothing shall be impossible. She said, how can this happen to me? For I've never known a man. I've never had a relationship with a man that would cause me to bear child. That's what she means. I don't know a man. I've never known one. I'm a virgin. How can this possibly happen? The angel said, the Holy Ghost is going to come upon you, Mary. You can imagine what Mary must have thought while this is going on. The Holy Ghost is going to come upon you, Mary, and the thing which is conceived in you is a holy thing. And when he's born, he'll be called the Son of God. For with God all things are possible. You don't have to worry about whether you've ever known a man or not. God says it's coming to pass, and if you're willing, it will. Now, right at that moment, Mary had a choice to make. In the same way that you and I have to make choices to either accept or to reject what God wants to do with us. I'm well satisfied that if Mary would have said, no, not me, the angel of God would have selected another woman. I'm well satisfied that Mary could have said, no. I'm a good Jewish girl. I'm engaged to be married to a fine Jewish man. You know our laws. If I come up pregnant, if they don't stone me, at least I'll lose my man. No, no, no. She had a choice. Look at verse 38. Mary said, behold the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. Behold, O God, the servant of the Lord. I give you the right to do with me and my life whatever you want. If you want me to make a name that would be trodden upon by men, that's all right. Whatever you want to do with me, Lord, behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, I'll do anything. I will be rejected and despised of man. If that's what you want with me, behold, the handmaiden of the Lord. And be it unto me according to your word. I will lay down my life. I will lay down my reputation. I will lay down my future. I will lay down my good name. I will lay down everything that I have. Be it unto me according to your word. Whatever you want to do is all right. Now that's some kind of a statement to make in that kind of a situation, isn't it? You know, when the Spirit of God comes to you and says, son, I want you to preach my word. Relatively simple to say, yes, Lord, I'll do it. When the Spirit of the Lord comes and he says, I want you to give generously and liberally into this particular project in my kingdom, it's relatively simple to say, yes, I will. When the Spirit of God comes and says, I want you to pray for such and such a person or such and such a situation, it's relatively easy to do that. Nobody even has to know about that. When the Spirit of the Lord comes to you and says, I want to give unto you the gift of healing, the gift of my Spirit, the supernatural gift of the Holy Ghost, the gift of healing, so as you lay your hands upon the sick, they'll be healed. Okay, Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. But when the Spirit of the Lord comes and says, I want to make you a reproach. I want to make you despised and rejected. I want you to do something for me that no other man will understand. They will think that you're crazy. They will think that you're wicked. They will think that you've gone off the deep end. They will think that you're contrary to my word. They will think that you've done everything wrong. When the Spirit of God comes and says, I want you to do something for me that will cause you to be despised and rejected and spat upon. Mary said, behold, the handmaiden of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. I wonder what we would say in that same kind of a circumstance. What would we say if God asked us to do something like that? passage goes on to describe that Mary went to see Elizabeth. Elizabeth and Zacharias were the mother and father of John the Baptist. Elizabeth was carrying John the Baptist in her womb. And when Mary came to her, John the Baptist was 6 months old in the womb. Just a little aside here. I'm just thinking here now. Those that say that the child is not alive until he's born, I wonder what they do with this scripture that says that the baby leaped in her womb. That Mary came into her cousin's house in this hill country town. And the minute she spoke, "Hello, Elizabeth," that so-called thing that she was carrying in her womb, that six-month-old fetus, recognized the voice of the mother of Christ and leaped in her womb. You suppose if Mary were alive today that she would be encouraged to have an abortion? Just go get it aborted, Mary. Nobody know the difference. Verse number 45. I like this. Well, let me look first at verse 42. When Mary came in to see Elizabeth and John the Baptist leaped in her womb, verse 41 says, Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost, and she spake out with a loud voice. What was she doing? She was prophesying. She was filled with the Holy Ghost, and she spoke out under the anointing of God the word of prophecy. That's what it means to be filled with the Holy Ghost and spake out with a loud voice. She began to boldly declare this anointed message. So who inspired the words of Elizabeth here? The Holy Spirit. Do you suppose the Holy Spirit was telling the truth? Okay, now let's see what the Holy Spirit said through Elizabeth. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. Whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Now listen carefully to this next verse. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Let me read that again. Please, whoever's children those are, need to look after them. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Why is she blessed when she believed? Because she believed, the word of God will come to pass. That word "for" means because. Blessed is she that believed, because there shall be a performance of what was told her. She's blessed when she believed, because what she believed is going to come to pass. And the inference there is definite, that if she had not believed, if she did not believe that she had heard from God, if she did not believe that God was going to perform it, it would not have happened. And Mary would not have been the mother of the Savior. Our God is a faith God. He works entirely and completely and totally based on the faith of the receiver, even to the point of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Son of David. It depended upon the faith of a Jewish maiden to believe the word which God had spoken to her. The Spirit of God said in prophecy through Elizabeth, blessed is she that believed, because she believed there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. That is special to me, and I'll tell you why it's special to me. God will never require you to do anything that you do not want to do. Our God may ask you to do something that you don't want to do, but He will never require you to do something against your will. Even this important, He will never force you. He will never go against you. He will never require you or demand of you something that you are unwilling to do. Bless the Lord, if you are willing, He will use you. And He will operate through you. And He will bless others through you. But He'll never ask you to do something that you're not willing. He'll never ask you to do anything that will hurt you. He will never ask you to do anything that will harm you. He may ask you to do something that other people will not understand. He may ask you to do something that will cause you to bear reproach in the same way that Jesus bore it, in the same way that I'm sure Mary bore it, in the same way that Joseph bore it. But He'll never ask you to do anything that will harm you. Never, ever. Let's have a word of prayer, and I'm going to ask James if he'll come, and let's just worship the Lord for a few minutes. Father, we thank You tonight for the way that You reveal Your ways to us, in the way that You dealt with other people in the Scripture. We thank You, Father, that we see how You move among us and how You work with us individually. When You record these very important details for us concerning Your ministry to the righteous of the past, we see Your ministry and Your tenderness with this young girl, Mary. We see, Father, how diligent You were to minister to her. And we want to thank You today, Father, for her faithfulness and for her willingness. Her willingness to obey Your voice, her willingness to follow You no matter what the cost, for she had no idea that her husband wouldn't divorce her or that she wouldn't even die because of what she was permitting. We thank You, Father, for that example. We thank You for the encouragement, Lord, that it gives us to follow You with abandon, to be willing to be made a fool of for You. For truly it is that, as Elizabeth spoke to her, that Mary would be blessed forever in all generations for what she did. We thank You, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.